The evolution that we learned about in school is the evolution of physical form. For example, we learned that the single-celled creatures of the oceans are the predecessors of all more complex forms of life. A fish is more complex and, therefore, more evolved than a sponge. A horse is more complex and, therefore, more evolved than a snake. A monkey is more complex and, therefore, more evolved than a horse, and so on, up to human beings, which are the most complex and, therefore, the most evolved life forms upon our planet. In other words, we were taught that evolution means the progressive development of organizational complexity. This definition is an expression of the idea that the organism that is best able to control both its environment and all of the other organisms in its environment is the most evolved. Survival of the fittest means that the most evolved organism in a given environment is the organism that is at the top of the food chain in that environment. According to this definition, therefore, the organism that is most able to ensure its own survival, most able to serve its self-preservation, is the most evolved. We have long known that this definition of evolution is inadequate, but we have not known why. When two humans engage one another, they are, in terms of organizational complexity, equally evolved. If both have the same intelligence, yet one is small-minded, mean, and selfish, while the other is magnanimous and altruistic, we say that the one who is magnanimous and altruistic is the more evolved. Our deeper understanding tells us that a truly evolved being is one that values others more than it values itself, and that values love more than it values the physical world and what is in it. We must now bring our understanding of evolution into alignment with this deeper understanding. Our current understanding of evolution results from the fact that we have evolved until now by exploring physical reality with our five senses. We have been, until now, five-sensory human beings. This path of evolution has allowed us to see the basic principles of the universe in concrete ways. We see through our five senses that every action is a cause that has an effect, and every effect has a cause. We see the results of our intentions. We see that rage kills. It takes away breath, the life force, and it spills blood, the carrier of vitality. We see that kindness nurtures. We see and feel the effects of a snarl and a smile. We experience our ability to process knowledge. For example, we see that a stick is a tool, and we see the effects of how we choose to use it. The club that kills can drive a stake into the ground to hold a shelter. The spear that takes a life can be used as a lever to ease life's burdens. The knife that cuts flesh can be used to cut cloth. The hands that build bombs can be used to build schools. The minds that coordinate the activities of violence can coordinate the activities of cooperation. We see that when the activities of life are infused with reverence, they come alive with meaning and purpose. We see that when reverence is lacking from life's activities, the result is cruelty, violence, and loneliness. The physical arena is a magnificent learning environment. It is a school within which, through experimentation, we come to understand what causes us to expand and what causes us to contract, what causes us to grow and what causes us to shrivel, what nourishes our souls and what depletes them, what works and what does not.